Welcome to season 2 of the Sustainability Podcast. This is Pratiksha and I am with my co-host Pratik. And we welcome you to the Sustainability 101 Podcast.
Welcome you all. So first things first, the Sustainability 101 Podcast is here to help you explore both the joy and benefits of sustainable living. The podcast highlights how the youth is interested to take initiatives for bringing about the sustainability revolution with information and insights from the world's most inspiring change makers. We welcome you all to our podcast, Sustainability 101. Hope you all are doing great and striving for a better environment. We know you have been keenly waiting for us to bring you this brand new episode with yet another high-functioning guest.
We have been thinking hard what to bring you next and how to make it more exciting after such a great response from you guys. So just hold a teensy bit longer for our incredible guest today and we will dive straight into it. So how do I start introducing today's guest? Well, she is the first lady to appear as a guest on our podcast.
Yes, to give a brief introduction about herself, she completed her bachelor's in environmental sciences from the University of Southern California and is currently doing a master's degree there. Having worked as an intern at multiple internships, Farah is highly skilled in operations, sustainability analysis, content writing, and holds a plethora of knowledge about the environmental sector.
She studied complex environmental issues focusing on climate change, and she has been a competitive swimmer for more than 15 years. Because of her incredible academic and industrial experiences, she has also been selected for the Climate Force Antarctic Expedition.
Wow, that's so fantastic.
Without any further ado, let me present to you Farah Stagg from Los Angeles. Welcome.
Yay.
Hi, welcome, I'm
Farah. So glad to be here. Thank you.
It feels so great to have you, Farah, on our show.
Yeah.
I feel so honored and appreciative, and I admire that I'm the first woman on this podcast. So I'm excited to talk to you guys and to have a really intriguing conversation about the environment and sustainability.
Awesome. So we're glad to have you as well. So let's start diving straight to our episode. So let's start with your childhood first. How was it like growing up in California, Farah, like especially in the city of Malibu, which is widely known for its Mediterranean climate and amazing beaches in the entire world? I've also heard that it is like a home to a few Hollywood celebrities out there, right?
Yeah, for sure. So Malibu, when I think of Malibu, it was home to me. I'm so grateful and privileged to have grown up in such a beautiful and safe place. Just because not so many people in the world get to experience places like where I grew up. And so I'm just very grateful for having such positive and peaceful and really fun memories growing up in Malibu. I just have a lot of memories spending time outside, whether it was just collecting flowers in my garden that looked over the Santa Monica Mountains. I loved my home because at nighttime you could hear the waves crash against the Point Doom headlands where I grew up. And it was just an amazing experience. I lived a very, very incredibly active lifestyle growing up, competing in as many sports as you could possibly think of. And I was really good at them because I loved them. I loved being active. I loved playing sports. And I was just always playing outside, which I like to think that my passion for the environment kind of has its roots with being always playing outside and being outside, just because I spent so much time outside swimming and biking and running and hiking and playing soccer and playing tennis, you name it.
And so I
grew up on a area in Malibu called Point Doom, and it's a headland that kind of juts out into the Pacific Ocean from the California coastline. And a part of the Point Doom community is everyone knows everyone because it's just such a tight-knit community, at least when I was growing up. And it's funny because when people think of Malibu, and especially when I first got to college, I mean, I spent so much of my life growing up in Malibu that I didn't really have any outside of experiences outside of Malibu and outside of the community I grew up in. But it's funny to me because growing up in it, everyone knows everyone. Everyone is just part of the community. They're your neighbor, even if it's, I don't know, like some famous celebrity whose kids you go to school with. But Malibu isn't just known for the Hollywood beach lifestyle. It's also, to me, it's known as a community. It's a place where teachers live and doctors and scientists and animal lovers and surfers for sure. And especially people really hardworking and family oriented, like my parents. Hmm. I went to an elementary school in Malibu called Point Doom Marine Science School, which was very ecocentric and taught me a lot about issues of climate change and global warming when I was really little, and it had a really profound impact on the way I viewed the world and the way I interacted with my environments growing up and just in my daily life. And our weekly field trips were just walking down the street to the beach and studying sea creatures of rocky tidal ecosystems and learning about them and drawing them and learning how they are important to the environment. And so that was kind of my life in Malibu. And I unfortunately lost my home in the 2018 Woolsey fires, which is a consequence of the growing threat of climate change and warming temperatures. So yeah, that's my beginning of my life and my story.
That must be awesome. You had a really cool and sporty childhood. You also seem to have been more connected to the natural ecosystem, right?
For sure. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Thanks for summarizing like your entire childhood from like, you know, growing up as a teenager and then schooling and then education. That was a good explanation right there. And we know that Farah, like you had a successful career in swimming and that you competed from the university to top division level. So like, could you please tell us what was the moment when you decided on retiring from like your 15 plus years of athletic career?
Yeah, for sure. I can say that this is a really difficult question to answer just because it was one of the hardest things I have ever had to do for myself for a number of reasons, but just to name a few, I guess just to start, like I grew up as a competitive swimmer. I spent at least 2 hours to 4 hours every single day from the time I was seven years old to the time I started going to college and just swimming and training and competing at the competitive swim level. I dedicated 15 plus years of my life to the sport. I was known as a swimmer by everyone who knew me, and I didn't really know who else I was as a person outside of being a swimmer. And my dream as a young girl was to always swim and compete at the collegiate level. I always wanted to follow the footsteps of my dad, who played football at Yale University.
Wow.
And so, yeah, and so I definitely received his athleticism just because I loved playing sports and I was really good at swimming. And it was during my freshman year when I had to retire from my swim career. I was presented with the opportunity to attend the University of Southern California, which is known as one of the most prestigious and top-ranking private universities. And it was basically a door leading me to endless opportunities at USC. But I cannot imagine my life without swimming because I gave so much to the sport and it gave so much to me. And especially after dedicating so much of my time and life to it, I just felt like I was where I was supposed to be in college at Loyola Marymount University, where I was competing at the Division I collegiate level. But deep down, I knew and I felt like there was more of me as a person to give to the world and to give to myself. I knew my career path going forward couldn't be just swimming unless I was competing maybe at the Olympic level. And as much as I didn't want to retire from the sport and as much as I didn't want to leave where I was at that point in my life, I accepted going to USC because I knew there was more for me as a person to explore and do. And in my first year there was absolutely one of the hardest years of my life, just because I felt lost and so self-conscious without swimming and without kind of having that title of Era the swimmer, or just as a student athlete, because that's who I was for, I mean, almost my whole entire life growing up. But in my first semester at USC was when my house burnt down and when the fires basically destroyed many, many people's homes and part of the community of Malibu. And that kind of gave me an eye-opening experience to the consequences and threat of climate change. And so with my experience as a child spending so much time outside and with my personal experiences facing the threat of climate change, I felt like being at USC in that moment was perfect and it was where I was supposed to be, because I could pursue my degree and my passion for in the environment and sustainability and environmental justice at USC, because they just have so many opportunities to offer. And so that was my pathway from swimming kind of to more of the focus on the environment.
Well, Farah, we definitely think you took the right decision. What was your parents' reaction when you decided on switching fields? Were they supportive of you, or did you face any criticism?
They were the most supportive and encouraging, very, very, very encouraging of me to attend USC. Both my grandfather, he received MBA from USC, and my mom also received her MBA from USC. So I am a Trojan legacy. And as much as my dad wanted me to compete at a collegiate level and in a sport, they have both always prioritized academics more than anything and have always been supporting me and giving me opportunities to go to schools that want to better my career and help me in my career and help me succeed, and to always receive the best academics I can receive. And so they were very supportive and encouraging. Yeah.
Beautifully, this clearly demonstrates that the right people bring out the best in you.
For sure, yeah. So I'm very grateful for my parents. And as hard as it was leaving LMU and leaving my swim career behind me, I am very grateful for where I am in my life and to be at USC.
That's amazing.
That worked out really well for you, Farah. So moving ahead, let's talk about the elephant in the room now, shall we? Antarctica, finally, yep.
Yeah.
Trust me, I was waiting for this part when you will finally share the exciting news with our listeners.
Yeah, so in November of 2021, I will be going to Antarctica alongside Robert Swan, who is the first person in history to go to both the North and South Poles. He is an advocate for climate change and addressing issues related to climate change, and especially with the coldest regions of the world, so Antarctica. And his work is dedicated to preserving Antarctica and Arctic regions for purposes of science and peace. And in November of 2021. It will be a 12-day expedition. So I will be going with him and a group of 80 plus people from around the world, partaking in this program called Leadership on the Edge program. And so part of this program is we'll be in Antarctica, the seventh continent of our world, and we'll be learning from renowned experts on climate change, sustainability, energy use, and with the hopes of retaining these leadership and power tools to bring back to our communities and implement them in helping and transforming ways. So a part of this program is a part of this bigger mission started by French explorer Jacques Cousteau, who gave this mission to Sir Robert Swan in the hopes of protecting and preserving Antarctica for science and peace. In the year of 2041, a treaty will be basically broken. It can be amended, but will basically be broken and stating that Antarctica will be free for exploitation of its resources to countries around the world. And so a part of this mission and expedition I'm going on is to raise awareness about that treaty, to raise awareness about sustainability, to raise awareness about the impacts of climate change. And as someone who's lost her childhood home and a lot of her community to the impacts of a warming climate, I'm incredibly passionate about this expedition and about this mission. And I am hoping to encourage and inspire people my age and people from all generations, because it's not just young generations who can make change in the world, but it's also up to everyone else who is alive and present and current in this day and time. And yeah, so that's my expedition, that's my mission, and I'm hoping for especially corporations, companies, governments, and the entire international community to take action in meaningful policy development and the implementation of sustainable business practices and daily lifestyles. And I really do believe that if we are all committed as a society, as a global society, we can preserve Antarctica together. We can preserve people's homes. I can help raise awareness and help protect people's homes from being burned down from devastating wildfires across the world. I'm just hoping to inspire and create change. And I'm hoping everyone joins me in my mission and takes part of this adventure that is not only the 12 days I will be in Antarctica, but also just a lifetime of dedication and commitment to this very pressing issue.
Such a lovely answer. And the wildfire must have impacted you a lot.
For sure, yeah. I will be sharing my experiences as a climate change refugee. Of course, I like to recognize my privilege and how grateful I am that I am staying in a home right now that is not the home that I grew up in, but at least I have some sort of shelter in a community nearby my childhood home. But I mean, people around the world have been in developing and third world countries, and even in the United States, which is looked to as one of the most powerful countries in the world, people are becoming homeless and suffering at the consequence of homelessness because of issues of a warming climate and climate change. And we have issues of migration and immigration because the areas people have grown up in for generations and for so, so long are becoming unsustainable to live in. And my experiences with the wildfires have surely motivated me to partake on this mission.
Yeah, you know, Farah, when Pratik told me about your Antarctica expedition and the idea to record an episode with you, I was so happy that I immediately told him what a redundant question it was. Of course, let's invite her, Asap, before she leaves for her expedition. Because, yeah, we really loved having you here.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Thank you so much.
So for one thing about this expedition, I found out really fascinating was that the person who's going for the expedition will be paying the cost of offsetting the carbon footprint, which he or she will be generating by their traveling. So would you like to tell us more about this cost management of this expedition?
Yeah, for sure. So basically, the expedition is being led by Robert Swan, and also an adventure industry that guides people and takes people to places around the world called the Explorer's Passage. And their mission, and a part of their sustainability mission, which is one of the core principles of the organization, is offsetting their carbon emissions. And so in order to go on this trip, I need to fundraise $20,000, which sounds like a lot, but I really do believe that if I can even just get a couple of dollars here and there from people, and in my efforts of reaching out to corporations and companies, I can provide sustainability initiatives and lessons and talks for their support. And so the funding for this includes airfare, basically taking a ship to Antarctica from South America, from the southernmost point of South America. And other expenses include sustainable and reused gear and outfit for basically being able to walk around the continent of Antarctica and to be outside. And it also includes, if there's any other extra funding, I will be donating it to the 2041 Foundation, which is the foundation that selected me as the participant for this expedition. And their focus is to raising awareness about Antarctica for the preservation of science and peace, and also advocating for renewable energy use around the world and sustainable development throughout all communities around the world. So the cost is $20,000, and it covers airfare, it covers gear, it covers airfare is the most expensive part of it, just because I'll be traveling from North America, California to the bottom of the world, I guess you could say. And it covers expenses for the people who will be guiding us as well. And this is all to benefit people's awareness about sustainability. And by helping me, I'm helping you by sharing your experiences. And for people who donate, you will get a personalized photograph I will be taking in Antarctica. And I love photography and I love taking pictures. So I'll be taking photos, and you'll get a personalized and you will be featured on my contribution list as part of supporting me in my expedition and the fight against climate change and saving Antarctica in 2041.
Beautiful. How thoughtful of them to incorporate this. And I'm sure, like, Farah, you're going to have the experience of a lifetime in this expedition.
For sure. I'm very excited. I'm very humbled to be going, and I'm really looking forward to it, and hopefully meeting people just throughout the fundraising process. And for anyone who's listening to this podcast, like, please send me your stories and your experiences with the impacts of ecological degradation. And I open my arms to anyone who wants to reach out to me and share their experience with me, so I can share your experiences with people I will be with during this expedition.
Yeah, guys, for staying connected with Farah's journey, you can find her on Instagram. Her ID goes by Farah Stack. Let me spell it out for you. FARAHHHHSTACK. FARAHHHSTACK. Okay, so let's do something fun and let's play some games, guys. So Farah, yes. The game is Would You Rather. Yeah. So the game is Would You Rather. So I will ask Prateek a question and he has to answer one of the two things. Okay. So Prateek, would you rather make a phone call or text?
So I am more of a text guy. Like I would definitely go with the text option. And if anything is urgent, you can always call me up.
Yeah. Now it's Farah's turn. Are you ready, Farah?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah. Farah, would you rather win the lottery or live twice as long?
Ooh, this is a very hard one. Wow, this is a great one. Okay, let's see. I think I would rather... I would rather live twice as long. Yeah, I feel like if I live twice as long, I could just do so much more in my life. I guess winning the lottery, you get a lot of money and you could do more in a shorter amount of time. But I think I live twice as long.
Totally agreed on that for a great answer.
Yeah, amazing.
So time for the next question. I hope this doesn't happen to any of us in case. So here it is. Would you rather lose your keys, Farah, or your cell phone?
Oh, no. I would rather lose my... I hate to say it. I'd rather lose my cell phone. I feel like I'm having the struggle with even liking cell phones because they're so... With all the notifications, it's so frustrating getting them, but I think I would definitely be happier losing my cell phone than my keys.
I know, right?
I think I would have a key that opens any door.
Wow. Cool. What would you do, Prateek?
Are you kidding me? Like one free crime of your choice? Come on, get in touch with your inner criminal, guys. You live only once.
That's a great one.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, so now comes the part where we ask the same 2 to 3 questions to every guest of ours. It helps us and our listeners to understand the different perspectives and how they really matter. Pratiksha, why don't you start with them?
Sure, thank you, Prati. You know, Farah, while growing up, some of them have their idols, right? They aspire themselves to be at the same position as their idols. So could you tell us who were your idols when you were growing up?
For sure. So as someone who was just, I guess, apart from my idols who were Olympic athletes, because I just as an athlete, like that's basically who I worshipped and I loved. Jane Goodall was one of my idols growing up. She actually came to my elementary school when I was little. And she talked about her experiences as a primatologist and anthropologist. And I mean, the work that she has done and established is just incredible. And I especially love her and any female environmentalist or scientist, just because the field of STEM is so, male dominated, and I think it's really important to praise and acknowledge female and women in STEM fields, so science, technology, engineering, math, and I just think the work that she has done is very cool and inspiring.
Yeah, and I'm sure like you're all already like, you know, close to that path and you are on the verge of inspiring others and having, like, you know, people are really going to look up to you as their ideals in any time now.
Yeah, I hope so.
So if you could go back 10 years from now, like what would you tell or advise your younger self?
I would tell myself 10 years ago from now. So, okay, so 10 years ago from now, if I could talk to my 10, 11 year old self, I would tell her to continue being yourself and to continue being the person who you are, and don't let anyone influence who you are as a person. I feel like the core of my being and who I am as a person has always just been happiness and helping people my name in Arabic, Far Jihan, means happiness of the world. So I feel like I feel like I really resonate with the meaning of my name. And
of course.
And I would definitely just tell myself that to not let anyone let you down or influence you in any which way, and always be true to yourself, because I feel like the more true to it myself that I am, the more goodness I can spread in the world, and the more people I can help, and the more people I can inspire to help more people. And
amazing. And we need more people like
lastly, what is your message to the youth aiming to contribute towards the environmental sector for making the world a greener place?
My message is to remain and to continue and to start being more consistent with your efforts of increasing awareness of sustainability initiatives, of the topic of sustainability, of the issues and impacts of climate change, to continue raising awareness of the environmental injustices people are facing around the world, and to always support those in need. I feel like I definitely learned these lessons from swimming, is dedication, perseverance, and staying committed to a goal. Because this issue of climate change and this issue of unsustainable development around the world is an issue, is a leadership issue. It's one where we need people to be more committed and to be more dedicated to the goals and the hopes that they believe and they preach about, because if we're falling short of those goals, no good will come. And I feel like continue being dedicated and persevere through any obstacle, because you can do it. I mean, I do not think anything is impossible for us in this challenge of climate change. And I really do believe that we can meet to the challenge. We all have to come together. I mean, literally every individual, and we have to support one another. We have to support people who, whose viewpoints we align with, and whose beliefs align with creating a more sustainable planet for every living being, people, animals, even tiny microorganisms that have really, really profound impacts on ensuring sustainable habitats and ecosystems. So that's my message.
Yeah, that was a beautiful message, Farah. You know, Farah, we bring incredible guests like you to make people aware about the importance of sustainable living.
And here, I would also like to add, Pratiksha, that we wish to create impact, and people can actually make it happen by adapting the life hacks, which we have suggested in our season one, that dealt with about water, energy conservation, waste, and many more. So make sure you guys also check out the season one of Sustainability 107 podcast too.
Yeah, very well sum up, Pratik. Now it's time for the last game of this episode, the rapid fire round. Say whatever which pops in your head when you hear the following words. Farah, this is for you.
Okay.
Earth.
Colors.
Summers.
Flowers.
Okay. Comfort food.
Ice cream.
Okay. Now Pratik will say.
What about podcast?
Fun.
Fun. Okay. Okay. All right. And you can also say sustainability 101 podcast here, just so you know. Yeah. So with this, I can say that unfortunately we have reached at the end of the episode, guys.
Oh, is it? I didn't even realize. Well, thank you, Farah, for answering our questions superbly and making this power-packed podcast with us.
And I would like to take a moment here and wish Farah all the best for her journey. I'm sure sky's the limit for her, and keep inspiring us, Farah. Looking forward to meet you once I'm in Cali. Please reach out if you plan to visit anytime in New York soon.
For sure. Thank you so much. And I wish everyone the best of luck with this path and staying dedicated to your goals of combating climate change and bringing sustainable initiatives to your communities.
Yes.
Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation. Do write to us on sustainability101podcast@gmail.com with your feedback. We would love to hear from you. You can also find us on Instagram at sustainability101. To stay updated about upcoming podcasts and tips to the sustainable living.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram. Guys, we are on LinkedIn too. And let us know who would you like us to have as your next guest. Until next time, stay safe, stay healthy, wear a mask. Think sustainable and act responsible. Bye.
Bye.